I believe the most rational thought you could ever have is to run to God in times of trouble. It's not irrational. It's the most rational thought. I choose to listen and
believe the voice. What would you do if you needed to provide a safer place for your family? Would you invest in new door locks and an alarm system? Would you buy an expensive video surveillance system that can send alerts to your smartphone? Do you think you'd move to a different neighborhood or even a different city? Welcome to the Voice of Truth with Pastor J.D. Glasscock of Calvary Chapel, Houston Metro. Safety was a major concern of many of our Bible heroes, including King David. For much of his early life, David was in constant danger, in battle with the Philistines and fleeing from King Saul. So where did David go for safety? Pastor J.D. will explain in his message, The Only Safe Place.
Would you turn with me in your Bibles to Psalm chapter 9, the ninth psalm? Look down at verse 9. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. And those who know your name will put their trust in you, for you, Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. And the title of this message is The Only Safe Place. Thomas Jefferson said, "Where the press is free and every man is able to read, all is safe. All is safe." You know, as I read those words, I couldn't help but think how much America has changed since the days of Thomas Jefferson. If only it were so simple, just a free press and a little education. But we all know today that safety is not so easily found. You know, each year, someone comes up with a list of the most safest and the most dangerous cities in America. For 2013, I found a list that had the cities listed according to population statistics, and I was surprised that El Paso, Texas, was the safest city in America with a population greater than 500,000. You know, last time I went through El Paso, I think it was about 50,000. But then I looked at the number three safest large city and shocked to discover that it was New York City. And the most dangerous cities in America, Detroit, Michigan. Now, that didn't surprise me, actually. I've read about the crime statistics in Detroit. Anybody here from Detroit? Texas, by the way, Houston didn't fare too well because it made the number 10 on the list of most dangerous cities. I'm not too sure, though, about the validity of this source. You know, we hear so much about crime in Chicago, and it wasn't even on the list. And I thought, well, maybe the company that made up the list was in Chicago and they got paid off, you know, to leave Chicago off the list. But now, the feeling of safety, really, it's not just where we live. There are circumstances that make us feel unsafe. Have you ever lain awake at night worrying that someone is out to make life hard for you? Has it ever just kept you up and, oh man, it's just troubling your mind, and maybe it's a jealous family member. It could be a coworker. Do you feel like your boss has it out for you? Or maybe even a spouse, and you feel oppressed. You feel insecure, you are afraid, and you don't feel safe. Sometimes it has nothing to do with a person. Our circumstances often provoke feelings of insecurity. If you have lost your job, you may be asking these questions. What am I going to do? You may be wondering, how am I going to pay for my rent? How am I going to take care of the mortgage? And you know, there's just millions of Americans today who do not feel safe. Well, the author of this psalm knew what it was like to be in a place that wasn't safe. He experienced grave physical dangers. At one point, he was at the top 10 most wanted on the list in Israel. On another occasion, he was forced out of his job as king of Israel by none other than his own son. At times, he lived in absolute fear of his life, and he endured trials that go far beyond what the average person would ever face. But this man, along with all of his troubles, discovered that there is one safe place. There is one safe place. There is a safe place. Wouldn't you like to be in that place? The safe place offers peace of mind and heart. In the safe place, you experience security. You are protected. In the safe place, you know that nothing can harm you. And we're going to talk about that safe place in just a moment. And of course, you know the man that I'm speaking of this morning is David, the author of Psalm 9. And there's something I just love about David. He never disguised his feelings. He was brutally honest. He was honest about every thought, every feeling that he was experiencing. He didn't hide seasons of depression. In fact, some of the Psalms, I believe, were obviously written during moments of very severe depression, when he feared. He was honest about his fear. But David didn't live in fear and depression continually. He knew that there was a safe place, and he would run to that place. And David knew that in that place of safety, he would be protected from all harm. So first of all, let's look together at the place of protection, the only safe place. Look down at verse 9. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. Now, verse 9 describes the safe place as a place of protection. You can underline the word refuge, and in verse 9, the word refuge, you'll notice that it is used two times. Who is the refuge for? Well, first of all, it describes the refuge as being the place for the oppressed. What does it mean to be oppressed? Well, the word oppress, it means to keep down by severe and unjust use of force or authority. Oppression means to weigh heavily upon. It means to overwhelm or to crush. And in the Hebrew language, that's the idea. It's a crushing weight. And Psalm 9 is believed to have been penned by David years after his battle with Goliath as a young shepherd boy. And you know the story. The Philistine army was literally crushing the Israelites, and the most powerful weapon that they had was the giant Goliath. And you know, every day that giant Philistine Goliath would come out and would taunt the army of Saul, challenging anyone who would come against him. And the army of Saul was just absolutely terrified of Goliath. You know, many years ago in high school, it was many, many years ago, I was a wrestler. And it was my 10th grade year of high school. And I had missed a few weeks of practice because I had fallen out of my treehouse and broken some ribs. And my first match after coming off my injury was on the road, really at a rival school. And since I had been out, somebody else had taken my weight class. And I wanted to wrestle anyway. And so what they did is they bumped me up to the next weight class. That meant that I would wrestle somebody much larger than myself. Well, I didn't realize how much larger he would be until I looked across the gymnasium. And there on the seats, the rows of seats, you know, you could just count up the weight classes and you could tell who it was, you know, you were going to wrestle. And I saw this big, huge, Goliath-looking dude. I mean, he was enormous. And, you know, my coach was counting up the seats too, and he knew my situation with the ribs, and he just said, "Glasscock, forfeit the match. Don't even go up against this guy. I mean, he's going to cream you." You know, there was a pretty girl out there in the stands that I wanted to impress, and I thought, no, I got to wrestle. I can't give up. I can't forfeit the match. Oh, I knew that I was going out against a Philistine giant, but I didn't have David's faith. I mean, I was shaking in my wrestling shoes. You know, when I went out on the mat, the guy actually began to taunt me, and no sooner had I said, "I come against you in the name of the..." I mean, he picked me up like I was a Raggedy Ann doll. He slammed me down against the mat. He pinned me to the floor in 18 seconds, and I felt crushed. But you know, that's really how oppression is. Not physically, but emotionally and spiritually. You know what it's like to feel as though, you know, I just can't even breathe under these circumstances. They're so difficult, they are crushing me. And you feel that sense of oppression. Well, now, who are the oppressed? Well, the Christian is oppressed. You will be oppressed. There is no way to go through this life as a believer without experiencing oppression. Sometimes it is our circumstances. Oh, or it may be a person who is oppressing us. You know, you might have a Goliath in your life oppressing you. But for certain, every believer has at least one Goliath who is the oppressor of our spiritual lives. The Bible describes Satan as a killer, a thief, a destroyer, and the Bible says that he is going around as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And for certain, you can be absolutely certain, and you know it, he will oppress you as a believer. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers and against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. And oppression, oh, it comes in many forms. You know, there is no one size fits all, but all of us will face seasons, minutes, moments, weeks, and sometimes even months of oppression. But notice what David wrote. He said, "The Lord will be a refuge for the oppressed." What does it mean for the Lord to be a refuge? Well, the word refuge in this context is a high place. In those days, they would erect high towers, and the high tower was a safe place because it was not easily accessible by the enemy. It's been said that even the Egyptians slept in high towers, not only to protect themselves from the enemies, but even from the gnats. You know, there on the ground, close to the ground, the bugs would jump, you know, get on them, and so they would go sleep in the high tower. And so it was a place of protection. And David wrote in verse 9 that the Lord is a place of refuge. In Psalm 18, verse 2, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God and my strength, in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. The Lord is the refuge for the oppressed believer. And I love this because it tells me that the place of protection is wherever the protector is. Now, is there anywhere where you can possibly go where the Lord is not already there? So that means that the safe place can be any place where the Lord is, because He is the refuge. He is a place of safety, and He is your protector. Well, it also says in verse 9 that the Lord is a refuge in times of trouble. The Lord is a refuge in times of trouble. I think it's safe to say that a time of trouble is any time you feel in trouble. Isn't that right? That's a time of trouble. But the word trouble occurs 44 times in the Psalms, by far more than any other book in the Bible. David experienced trouble continually. He really was a man who knew what trouble was all about. Psalm 3, verse 1, a psalm of David when he fled from Absalom, his son. "Lord, how they have increased who trouble me. Many are they who rise up against me." Psalm 9, 13, "Have mercy on me, O Lord. Consider my trouble from those who hate me and who lift me up from the gates of death." Psalm 20, verse 1, "To the chief musician, a psalm of David. May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the name of the God of Jacob defend you." Psalm 31, verse 9, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. My eye wastes away with grief. Yes, my soul and my body." And you know, I could go on and on in the Psalms, because David was a man who understood trouble. Now, David had all sorts of trouble. In fact, some of David's trouble, they were self-inflicted trouble. David was far from perfect. He shared some of the same human weaknesses that you and I have, and maybe even a few that we don't have. And sometimes David brought trouble upon himself. But even then, David looked to God to be his refuge, even when the troubles were self-inflicted. David had troubles from his enemies. He was really a high-profile target. You know, the nations around Israel, they weren't all friendly nations. Oh, and they hated David. Now, he was a mighty man of war, and he had trouble from his enemies all around. You know, David's family was a great source of trouble, and you say, well, I can relate to that one. And David, his son Absalom, led a revolt against him, and just in an attempt to overtake the kingdom. But David discovered that through every season of oppression, God was a refuge, the Lord was a high tower, the Lord was a fortress. In every time of trouble, God was a refuge to David. You know, I was reading about two men this past week who had taken a drive near Cripple Creek, Colorado. They lost control of the vehicle that they were driving. They were driving a pickup truck. It careened over the edge of a long, sharp embankment, and it ended up down at the bottom of a ravine. Well, the driver died in the crash, and they both had light clothing on. The passenger survived for 6 days inside of the vehicle, critically injured, freezing temperatures, nothing to eat. And finally, someone happened to look over the edge of the ravine there, and they spotted the truck down below. Well, I began reading some of the comments that the readers had left, and one reader made the comment that an angel must have been watching out for the passenger that lived. Suddenly, the comments turned away from the story itself and turned against the person who mentioned an angel. One person said, "You know, Christians are always looking for a way of escape." And this person said that the guy who lived survived only because of his rational thinking. And other readers, they begin to scoff at this man who had mentioned angel. You know, people oftentimes will make negative comments about Christians, and they say things like, "Well, you know, Christians just use God as a crutch." Have you heard that one before? I have to ask, if someone is being chased by a grizzly bear, what fool wouldn't climb a tree if it would save him? Who would be stupid enough to say, "Well, you know, I don't need a tree to escape this bear. If I just run fast enough, oh, I can save myself." Did you know that on multiple occasions, scientists in Yellowstone Park have clocked grizzly bears running 25 to 28 miles per hour over a distance of 2 miles? You think you can outrun a bear? The fastest clocked human on record is about 27 miles per hour. I believe the most rational thought you could ever have is to run to God in times of trouble. It's not irrational. It's the most rational thought. And David was continually faced with trouble that was far greater than any human could possibly handle. But David had a safe place. The Lord was his refuge during oppression. The Lord was his refuge during times of trouble. Now, I do know many Christians who do not feel safe. Maybe you're here today as one and you say, "You know, I don't feel safe in my circumstances. I don't feel safe with what I'm going through. I have problems. I have circumstances within my life, and I feel insecure, and I feel just oppressed. I feel troubled." And you know, many Christians today live in fear of someone, something, or some circumstance. And the question is if God is a refuge, then why is it that so many professed believers do not feel safe today? Verse 10 answers this question. We've looked at the protection in verse 9. Who are the protected? Look with me at verse 10. "And those who know your name will put their trust in you." Who are the protected? Those who know your name. What does it mean to know the name of God? Well, in the Bible, you know there are many names for the name of God. David had studied the Word of God. He knew the law of God. And he wrote in Psalm 1, he said, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night." David was a meditator on the Word of God. Oh, he knew those first five books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. He knew them backwards and he knew them forwards. He knew the Word of God. He had read the Word of God. He had studied the Word of God. He had meditated upon those words, and he knew the names of the Lord. You know, some of those names, David knew God as Jehovah Jireh, the Lord, our provider. This is also the name Abraham gave to the place where the Lord provided a sacrifice in place of Isaac in Genesis 22:14. David knew God as Jehovah Nissi, our banner, a banner of love and protection. Also, the name Moses gave to the altar he built after defeating the Amalekites in Exodus 17:15. David knew God as Jehovah Ra'ah, our shepherd, who tenderly leads us and will keep us safe. And that famous Psalm 23 begins with these words, "The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want." And David knew God as Jehovah Rapha. "I am the Lord, your physician. I am the Lord, your healer." And this name was a name that God prophetically spoke of himself, not one that someone gave him, but a name that God gave himself, Exodus 15:26. And you know, there are many, many names of God, and every name of God describes something about the nature of God. And of course, we know God as Yeshua. We know him as Yeshua, which means Yahweh is salvation, Or you may know him just simply by Jesus. Now, with David, I can assure you it wasn't only an intellectual knowledge of the names of God. It wasn't simply that he had just studied the Word of God and knew the names intellectually. David had experienced the names of God. He had experienced God's provision. He had experienced God's protection. He had experienced the Lord as a loving shepherd. And you know, when David went up against Goliath, David had already experienced God as protector. David had experienced him as the shepherd who would guard him and, you know, who had delivered him from the jaws of the lion and from the jaws of the bear. And when David went out into that battle, he wasn't just armed with some stones and a slingshot. And David was armed with a confidence that the Lord went with him and that God was with him as protector, Jehovah Nissi. This past trip to India, for me, it was a little different than the others. There's always been danger when I go to India in that particular region, but just the month before in the same state, 20 pastors had been attacked by Hindus and many of them were hospitalized. And on this trip, it was interesting because the government was attempting to split the state into two separate states. And oh, people were up in arms. Roads were being closed. There was angry men out in the streets. Cars were being stopped. Sometimes when our car would go through, they'd surround the car. You know, they'd hit the car with their fists. And, you know, there were some frightening moments there. My hotel was about an hour or two distant from most of the villages where I was at, and at nighttime, the pastor that invited me, he just insisted that he and his brother travel back to the hotel with me, and then they would stay there in the city. Well, one evening, his wife was sick. She had a fever, and I just told the pastor, I said, you know, you need to be at home with your wife. Oh, no, you know, we don't know these taxi drivers. We're concerned about your safety. And I just told him, I said, you know, I feel the protection of God upon me. I am at complete peace. I feel safe in the hands of the Lord. And finally, I absolutely had to insist that he allow me to go alone. You see, I have experienced Jehovah Nissi. God as protector, he has protected me on many occasions in my life. In some ways, you know, like David, just the nature of my upbringing placed me in many life-threatening predicaments. Oh, I've experienced Montana blizzards miles from civilization. If something would have happened to me, they wouldn't have found me till spring. Almost froze to death on one occasion. All the symptoms of freezing to death. I've been within spitting distance of a deadly tornado, just watching one as it went over the top of me and touched down in the yard behind me. And I was thinking, you know, I'm not ready to grab Toto and leave Kansas yet. I've been caught out in torrential downpours in the hills with lightning striking all around me and just praying to God for protection. I've had broken bones from wild horses. Oh, as they've thrown me all over the place, and some, yes, have almost killed me. I've been in quicksand. In South Texas, I was threatened by someone who threatened to kill me, and they had the means to do it. In fact, they came onto my grandfather's ranch with a gun. They knew that I would be there on Sunday. And you know, the guy shot himself and he died right there on the ranch. Tragic. But I have experienced Jehovah Nissi. God is protector. Jehovah Ra'ah, God is shepherd. And when danger is around, I know God is Jehovah Shalom. God is peace. And I can assure you that in times of danger and in times of trouble, there's the peace of God. Knowing that he is my protector, knowing that God is watching over me, and I know the name of God as a matter of study, yes, but in life I have experienced his name as God has protected, he has provided, he has shepherded, and I know I can trust God.
You have been listening to The Voice of Truth with Pastor J.D. Glasscock of Calvary Chapel, Houston Metro. For a copy of today's message, The Only Safe Place, call 281-499-6301 or visit our website at calvary.cc.